It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Back to pass. Jackson looking down the right sideline, and it's overthrown and picked off by Taylor Rapp at the Buffalo 45-yard line. Here's the snap. Oh, it almost went over his head. Jackson has it, but he's wrapped up around the ankles, and he fumbled the football. It's scooped up by Von Miller, coming the other way, 30, and he's tackled at the 23-yard line.
Our guys, they heard it all week long. We're not big enough, we're not strong enough, not talented enough. Whatever it is, they heard it.
Back to pass, has time, looking deep over the middle. Wide open is Andrews. Gets away from the tackle, but the ball is out, and Terrell Bernard forces the fumble and scoops up the football.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
There's the snap. Allen takes a knee, and that'll do it. The final 35 seconds will tick away. Celebrate, Bills Mafia. The Bills have won 27-25. Kansas City, here we come.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hello, Football Monday on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. What is next? Kansas City again. It feels right.
Just right.
You know?
Feels just right. Yes. Sure. I mean, who wouldn't prefer hosting the Houston Texans?
Or like the Giants.
Sure, whatever. Of the eligible candidates. I mean, the Texans were the only alternative going into the weekend. And sure, that would be much nicer. But, you know, it feels just right. You should have to beat the King. You know, you don't have to, but I don't mind. You got to.
You like, want
go,
to.
Go, yeah, you want to. It's better. It's sweeter. You know, just I didn't want to wish for it because I'd rather play the easier opponent. And I think Houston would have been considerably easier, even if it were played in Houston, which it wouldn't have been. So there is that. But yeah, this feels like, you know, exercise some demons. Let's see what we can sort out in that way. Maybe you'll even get the favor of Washington getting through and be able to slay a team that beat you in one of the four Super Bowls.
How big a favor is that? Pretty big?
I think that's a pretty big favor, yeah.
I probably do, too. It's just a huge relief today, last night and today, I think. I think that's the word I would want, is it's a relief. Because people said this on the post-game show, too, and it's just obvious. Like, had the Bills lost last week, what do you do? You lose in the wild card after that season and these 5 years. That doesn't happen. They win easily. Last night, it was always set up to be the worst for the losing team in that game last night. Super close. And it's what I thought this time. Like, that the Ravens, they just do a couple of things wrong, or they have in previous big games, and they did last night, that cost them against the Bills team that's been really clean and also was last night. So that happens, and you take a day or two, you take a shower, you have a day or two to figure out what went wrong in the game, and then you sit down and put your feet up and go, what is the next move? Like, what would be the next move for
right.
the Bills?
Year over year, it gets harder and harder to just go, well, just keep running it back. That doesn't make it wrong to think that. I very likely would have landed on that space because they had an excellent season here in what started out looking like and feeling like, and I don't know, they didn't exactly state it themselves as a slogan or anything, but it felt like a transition year with all the purge of the roster and the Diggs trade and all that. And instead, they had this wonderful year. And if they'd lost to an excellent Baltimore team, I think I would have said, okay, well, then find me another receiver, replace Amari Cooper if you need to, because he's a free agent, and like, let's just keep going. And that's not always the most popular thing, especially after the bitter disappointment that we'd be wallowing in. But fortunately, good for all of us, good for all of our mental health, and good for Sean McDermott. I'm very happy for him today. They haven't won anything yet. But what they've done and what I think he's done is answer a lot of his critics. It wasn't flawless and perfect yesterday, but he and they did some different things on defense. and it helped them get out to a lead that they managed to hang on to. I mean, they were in front from the minute they took the lead. They never trailed in this game. And, you know, they built that in the first half by shutting down Derrick Henry and pushing Lamar Jackson into mistakes that, you know, I still kind of can't believe he just dropped that ball with Hamlin holding his ankle, but he did. So credit to them. Some tendency breakers, more three linebackers on the field, more blitzing, more man coverage, and they got it there. And, you know, he should get the credit for a lot of that, I think. It's something I think his harshest critics, not even his harshest critics, just his critics, would point out, like, oh, so passive, too high, keep everything in front of you, like, you change it up once in a while. Well, they did, and they probably don't win the game yesterday without it.
I guess. Like, the whole game is the turnovers for me, and on the other side of that is the Bills just continue to never make any turnovers. Like, just, again, it's 8 for the season, including the playoffs, and so they do take it away. Of course, that's to McDermott's credit and the defense and everything you're saying. It's also sometimes a gift by the other teams. I would say at least the second of the 3 turnovers yesterday was, if not also the first. The third is a punch out, at least the Andrews fumble. But they've made it this far without any, like, you have games now that the margin is razor thin and they're just not making that mistake. And it's gotten them to the AFC Championship, and it might take them all the way. They have either been equal or on the plus side in turnovers in literally every game, which is an NFL record. Football Perspective had this today. That's how I know. 19 games of a season without ever being in the minus one time. And that one thing has been my, like, feeling of caution about the Bills, is like, you only have so much control over that, but it continues. And I mean, I think they're good. Everybody thinks they're good. Some people think they're great. I think they're good. And if you get +2, +3, like they're getting yesterday, I told you on the post game talking with Paniatovich, like, I liked them yesterday. If you told me they were going to be +2 or better, I liked them. And if they weren't, I didn't. And you get +3 and you win by 2 points. So none of that is really, it's especially meaningless for trying to predict what happens. I mean, you have some control over that on both sides of the ball, but only so much. And it not being such a predictive stat, it's not yards per play, which only got Baltimore to the second round. It's not one of these. It's just more important, though, you know? And now they're in the semis against a team that they know so well and have beaten 4 years in a row. It comes down to whether, well, this will be a narrative thing, but whether or not you think the playoffs are different, and I really don't. I don't think there's anything about the history of these two teams together that means the Bills can't beat them just because in the playoffs they haven't done it. So it's great. It's great. It's a huge relief to get Baltimore out of the way. The Ravens were a better team this year than the Chiefs were. And the Bills had beaten Kansas City and not Baltimore until last night. It really probably should, or does to many, feel right now like, okay, now I can see them winning the whole thing. Right? It's 2 more. And Baltimore is out of the way. So is Detroit,
right,
by the way.
Right.
It's close. Right now it is close. 803-0550 for your calls. It's a great day for fans to revel in this. I have heard more than I expected to personally and on the station of, like, complaints about what the Bills didn't do better last night. Play calling stuff, and, like, Twitter has some of that today, which is, I don't know, it's never, like, shocking when that happens.
Right, right.
I wasn't expecting so much. I have a friend who's like, Brady should be fired.
Like, today?
Last night he said it.
Yeah.
I told him I wouldn't name him because, oh my God.
Good. Yeah, it's funny. Like, I have, you know, I have similarly, I've got friends, and they've got opinions, and they share them with me often during games. And, yeah, I don't take it too seriously. I sometimes respond during the games, but it's usually like as soon as something goes wrong, it's like, oh, you know, kind of like a here we go type thing. Like, oh, getting out coached again. Oh, these little guys or what, you know, whatever, stuff like that. And one of them last night got home from the game and just sent me, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 messages in a row of like just how happy he was, how wrong he's been about McDermott, and like all this guy that found religion on the car ride home from the stadium last night or sitting in the stands. And I appreciate that. You know, we've all had our moments. I mean, I don't know about all, but I did. Like last year, I was at my wit's end after the Philadelphia game. And I've said it many times, all they did was just win from there till they missed a field goal against Kansas City. And that sort of took me off of that and made me feel kind of like an idiot for reacting that way to that Philadelphia game. And since then, like, McDermott's done a lot of work, I think, that has just, I don't know, it feels sillier and sillier to me all the time to question whether or not he should be their coach. So the idea of somebody saying Brady should be fired, it seems kind of hilarious to me. I get it. It was a very conservative game plan. You know, maybe that goes hand in hand with their perfect, you know, no turnovers, you know. Like, I also would have liked to see them, like Tony Romo was saying in the second half, you know, get Allen, knock him out, right? You've got an 11-point lead coming out. Just come on, just finish it. And, you know, maybe they could have. Maybe they could have tried to do that. Maybe if they do, there's a strip sack in there or something that could have swung it. And in a game that ended up being as close as it was, I mean, you should be pretty grateful that they didn't turn the ball over at all, because that could have changed the entire outcome the way it turned out. So maybe that was all intentional. You know, certainly was intentional to put extra big people on the field. Certainly was intentional to go looking for the ball like Bernard did. So, and it was intentional to blitz him more often than they have really all year long, any opponent. So they did some things that, yes, you're going to get some luck on your side, sure, with turnovers. But I think they took steps to help that happen. I guess, on both sides of the ball, by protecting it and by also being more aggressive than they often are.
Yeah, like I was thinking about the turnover thing earlier, and it's two things. It surprises me, I guess, to some extent that they've had the year they've had on defense in that area without Hyde and Poyer, because, like, or even Trey White. Like, those are the guys I think of. Pass rush affects it. Bernard is somebody who's definitely shown to be like a nose for the ball kind of player. He's the guy who makes the play last night on Andrews. Like,
watch that play closely. He even, like, without knowing whether he got it the first time, is swinging his left hand around, his left arm around to try again.
Yeah.
As the ball's already on the ground, like, you can see it. Like, it's very intentional by him. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that caught my eye last night going through just some of the highlights. And yeah, I mean, just tremendous awareness, I think, is what that is.
And Andrews is somebody who hadn't fumbled in forever. So I was going to say, like, just Hyde and Poyer, and I guess White, even though it had gotten late for him in his career, well, all of them, but. These are the guys. What is sort of the secret sauce on defense? You know, it's protecting against the big plays, and then you have these two safeties who will outread you, and they know what's coming. It's Poyer against the Ravens in Baltimore a few years ago. It's Hyde against Mac Jones. Like, it's these famous plays that they both made, and their departure would have meant, like I said, it's two things. The first thing is that their departure would have meant, well, okay, I don't really have that anymore. I mean, I don't have the safety tandem who know where the ball is going, you know, before you do, basically, and they're going to make a play that very few other players in the league are going to make. But the other part of that is, again, you only have so much control over that. You know, the ball has to go there. And it's just still not something you can really, I think, bet on. And despite their leaving, I mean, Diggs lost one fumble in 4 years as a Bill in the regular season, or both. Like, it wasn't him, regular season at least. It was one in London he fumbled. Not on this continent. The guy did not lose a fumble in the regular season for the Bills in 4 years. It's more just what they, I thought, were losing defensively in that sort of intellectual kind of way. And instead, I mean, it's whatever it is now, 30, yep. 35 takeaways and 8 turnovers.
And to do that, would anyone objectively describe them as like a hell-raising pass rush team? I would not. They don't blitz a lot. So it's either and their front four often leaves you wanting. So it's not like they are one of these teams that just is winning up front and making life hell for quarterbacks. And so they're pressuring them into mistakes, you know? I don't even think yesterday, like Milano is coming there. I don't know maybe he started out that play, the interception Lamar threw, spying, and then eventually just charges him. But I don't even know if he hits Jackson on that play. I haven't looked at the replay closely enough, but it's not like that was one of those, I'll stand in there and throw it. Like, Jackson just misread where he should have gone with that ball. Bateman, I think, is the intended receiver there, and he cuts out, I think, because he sees where Rapp is. And I think you have to expect your quarterback to recognize where Rapp is, because where Lamar threw the ball was right to where Rapp was tracking, and Bateman tried to go toward the sideline. But Jackson threw it as he cut, and that was that. So, you know, pressure might have led to that, but it also might have just been, you know, just a misread and a terrible throw. You know, so all this, I'm just going a long way to say that it makes the turnover thing even more remarkable, because they do not have somebody that is just setting offensive linemen on fire on a regular basis, winning and getting to the quarterback.
Right. Matt is with us. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. Much like yourselves and a lot of fans, I think I'm just happy and relieved, like you said, for today. I'm happy for McDermott and Allen. You know, we had that barrier at the divisional round past couple years. Like, throw things that go into whether you win a football game or not. And I feel we've been the victim of bad luck the past couple years with the defense and the playoffs not being what it should have been with the injuries. You know, the vibes were good going into this year. The team had such an efficient season that I feel if we lost again for the fourth time in a row at the divisional round, like you said, you know, the sky is falling, and that didn't happen. And yesterday, I think it was the first drive for the Ravens where it was a third down. I think Henry was going on the wheel, and he just dropped that ball. And he had 10 yards open space in front of him, and 10 yards of Derrick Henry momentum could have been a touchdown. So when that happened, I kind of got that feel like, oh, this might be our day. And we got a couple breaks yesterday, and you know what? It just feels good. I'm happy to go on to Kansas City.
Right on. Yeah, the next play was a 39-yard pass, but sure. That happened also when Henry looked like he might have been gone, and Hamlin got him. Like, oh, that's big. And then they scored immediately after that, too.
You know, a friend of mine texted me about our conversation about that, that you pointed out that Hamlin made that tackle, but they scored anyway. And I thought the same thing, but I think we had to get to a break or something, and I didn't get a chance to say it. And I like that my friend texted me because he was complimenting you for pointing it out. And what I wanted to say then that I'll say now is, because my friend texted me this, he said, I think a long Henry run is more demoralizing than the drive continuing and them scoring. Like, it's the same result on the scoreboard, but I think the Bills might have sagged, feeling like, oh, we just gave up a 60-yard run to Derrick Henry, like we're here again. And instead, you know, they kept playing. It also affected the clock, which eventually mattered to some degree. I mean, the sooner you can get to the end of the game, great. But I like that point. I mean, it's a feelings point. You know, it's not a data point, but I agree with it. Like, I think, how would you have felt watching? Derrick Henry runs over you and scores from 60 yards away. Like, oh, man, this again? Instead, they had to work for it. And again, they got the same result ultimately. But I think it's different than if he'd just gashed them for a long touchdown.
Maybe. That drive ends with a Henry touchdown, and then the Ravens go for two. It's Jackson for likely incomplete. Like, that play is there. It's a Milano play. It's a great play by him to break that up. A little bit weird, maybe. It's sort of, like, to me, classic Baltimore, Like, just you're running right through the Bills at this point. This is when the game got scary. You know, I think the beginning of the game was scary because the caller brings up the pass that Henry drops, but they go for 40 on the next play and kind of walk in. Like, all right, well, this is what we thought. It's going to be hard, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got the turnovers, and the Bills get to 21-10, 21-13, then after a punt. Then you have that run and the drive for that touchdown. Right, it's still third quarter, and the Bills are, like, they had a couple of three and outs, or short drives at least, short one three and out, and then a shorter possession. Like, do they know the next move? And that it's the Andrews fumble that alleviates that. I mean, it's 24-19. The whole game is the turnovers. It really, the Bills just continue to not make these mistakes, and they get three yesterday, and hang on. John is next. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just had two things real fast. One, man, it feels good to be out a chance to make the Super Bowl, you know, dethroning the Chiefs. And my second point, you know, it's been kind of aggravating me all day. I, you know, on the national media level, like ESPN with the facility, I've seen Cowher on the Today Show and everything. Everybody's making it like, you know, Mark Andrews dropped the ball, and like they would have been guaranteed overtime. No one's saying how there was still a minute and 30 seconds, and Josh Allen's one of the most clutch players at the end of the game, like, over the last 5-6 years. Like, no one's saying how he probably would have got that field goal, even if we don't, and go to overtime. I'm pretty sure we might come with that game. Like, I know it was scary with, you know, them coming back, but it just feels like Josh Allen is just so clutch that he still doesn't get the respect. Like, he would have still pulled that game out, even if Andrews catches that ball.
Well, you don't hear me saying it. I don't know who's saying it. I really don't care. But objectively, it's 133 in a tie.
Two timeouts.
We spent a lot of time last year on what Kansas City's odds would have been had the Bills tied the game on the Bass field goal in the playoffs. Again, objectively, like, how really close were the Bills to winning that game if they tie it there? You'd still rather be Kansas City, I think.
Yep.
And you'd easily rather be Buffalo yesterday when Andrews, you know, makes that catch, if he does. So, I doubt fans are really quoting these people who were talking about that because it's easy to sort of feel offended. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that to me at all.
It's easy, I think, taking it in, you know, clip here, clip there, a couple sentences here or there from different people. It was a costly drop. It cost them a chance to still win the game. And, you know, so it's a big drop. And so I think sometimes, even as a listener, you make a lot of assumptions about somebody making the point about how big a drop it is. Because it was mad. It ended their season, effectively. So it's a big play. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have hated the Bills' chances at all in that situation. I mean, I'm certainly glad he dropped the ball. I mean, I didn't need to have that drive happen just to prove how awesome Josh Allen is and that Tyler Bass can hit another maybe long clutch field goal. So, you know, good for us. But
they'd still have to do it.
Right.
You know, like, what was the game against the Dolphins? Wasn't the game against the Dolphins this year? I mean, who cares anymore? But the home game,
61-yard field goal to win it is what we ended up with in that game.
But wasn't there, like, the Bills get the ball back and then punt it, win a tie, and then get it again? There was one game. Like, I don't know. Allen's not the all-time. He's not the GOAT when it comes to fourth quarter drives. Like, I said it already. I'd still rather be the Bills if Andrews makes the catch, but it's not a given, you know.
No.
And it wasn't a given last year that Kansas City would have.
No,
you never know. I want to look that up now. That Miami one. I think I'm probably wrong.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't have it like on recall here, so I can't. I mean, I could look too, but if you're looking, I don't need to look.
That's right. 803-0550, Football Monday. On to the AFC Championship. Eric Wood will join us at 4, Sal Capaccio at 6. If you're looking for the Sabres, who are in Seattle for a 4 o'clock Eastern start, the game will be on the Bet 1520. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.